We are continuing our walk with Jesus as it is recorded in the book of Luke. So please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We are now moving into the final part of that chapter, verses 40 through 56. And here we read of two more miracles being performed by our Savior. And we're going to see more miracles, it seems, as we go through Luke. But here we see these last couple in 8. So let us read God's word, and then we're going to pray for him to reveal to us by his Spirit what he wants us to discover today in his word. So Joe, would you pray over the word for us today, please, before we read?
Dear Lord Jesus, we want to start out by thanking you for we ask that this word that Randy brings forth to us speaks to our hearts and minds, and let your will be done in our lives, that your word make an impact with us. In Jesus' name, I ask.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Luke 8, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. So remember where we came from. We were at the man at the Gadarenes, and the man with the demons called Legion. He cast them out, and remember, Jesus got into the boat and was leaving. And the gentleman wanted to go with Jesus, and he said, No, you have to stay and be a witness and tell how much Jesus had done for him. So Jesus is now returning. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." So let's stop there for a moment. At this point, please find yourself in the picture. There's a whole crowd of people around Jesus. He's come back from the east side of the lake. Now he's back to the west side. And there's people waiting for him because they're expecting him. He's landed, greeted by this crowd. And so place yourself now in that crowd. There he is. And let's listen to what's being said and what's happening. Verse 7. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. So stay in the picture with me. This big crowd was with them. We had this woman healed. Now he's going over to Jairus' house. These people are following him because they want to see what's happening next. But he doesn't let them go in. Now he's just restricting it to Peter, John, James, the child's mother and father. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone that what had happened. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So here we see the woman is instantly healed. In Mark chapter 5, they talk about this story as well, verses 25 through 34. We read there that this woman had suffered for years under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, but just grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she thought, and this is what it says in Mark, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." She touched his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped, and it says in Mark, she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She felt it immediately. What a moment for her. And for us, to see the power of Jesus and the power of faith in who Jesus is. Jesus said nothing to rebuke the illness. It was her faith in him that brought healing. And so Jesus confirmed this by saying to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." That always reminds me of what? John 8:36, "When Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed." She was set free. Now, as this was happening, remember, it said, even as he was talking to her, someone came from the house of Jairus, who was the synagogue ruler, so he's a devout Jew, and told him that his daughter is dead. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Do you ever think that you don't really want to bother Jesus with your troubles or your sorrows? You ever feel like that? Don't bother the teacher. Please, no, he is not bothered at all by you or me coming to him. He wants us to always come to him. In Matthew 10:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." These are Jesus' words to us. So please, don't think you're bothering the teacher. You're bothering Jesus. And Jesus then tells Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. And she will be healed." Jesus says this to Jairus immediately after the woman is healed in the presence of everyone. And Jesus tells her, "Your faith has healed you." Jairus is right there with him because, remember, Jesus is already headed out when this happened. Don't you think that that would have had great impact on Jairus? He sees the healing. He's come to Jesus to heal his daughter. Sees that healing, but then he's told, "Your daughter is dead." So Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Jesus arrives at the house of Jairus with Peter, James, and John and the child's mother and father. He tells the crowd to stop wailing. The traditions is now someone's dead, and so they have all these people coming around the poor family of the deceased, and they wail and they wail and they moan. And Jesus says, "Stop wailing. She is not dead, but asleep." The crowd laughed at him. They know what a dead person looks like. And this girl's dead. And to be honest with it, Jesus knew she was dead too. If you read the word, it says that the spirit returned to her. So the spirit's gone. He knows. But he also knows what's happening next. And they mock him. And they say, "No." So he takes her by the hand. And he says, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, the word says. And at once she stood up. Her parents were astonished. I bet they were. I bet they were. Didn't we read earlier where Jesus did the same thing for that son in Nain? His mother was burying the son and he raised him up. They were astonished. But then Jesus orders them not to tell anybody what had happened. Doesn't that seem odd? It seems odd to me. Why would he say, "Don't tell anybody"? Because we read last week, remember, that Jesus healed that demon-possessed man in the Gadarenes. And when the man wanted to go with Jesus, Jesus told him to stay and tell his family how much the Lord has done for you and had mercy on you. And in Luke, we read that he told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. And now we read Jesus orders the people, commands the people not to tell anyone. This puzzles me. And to be honest, we can find other places where Jesus tells the witnesses of his miraculous powers to be silent. Don't tell anybody. Why these different commands? They seem contradictory. Well, it appears that Jesus was concerned that in Israel, the people were already following him in great numbers. We've already seen that in our walk through Luke with Jesus. And they were constantly wanting to see him perform more miracles. It was beginning to turn into showmanship and into entertainment that the people sought when they sought Jesus. Like a circus act, like a magician. But Jesus intended that his power be used to relieve suffering and to help the needy. He wanted to avoid mere showmanship. But now, we're in the region of Decapolis, where the demon-possessed man is. And Jesus was not yet known so well there or followed so intently. Jesus actually, if you think about it, commissioned the healed demoniac to be a witness of Jesus' favor and mercy and power. And it appears that the demoniac did a very great job at that, because when Jesus returns to the area, people brought Jesus a deaf and a mute man, and Jesus healed him right there, and there was a great crowd present. He returns to that region, and there's a great crowd. They bring this guy to him, and it was now Jesus tells these people who witnessed this great miracle to not tell anyone. So now he says, don't tell them that I healed this guy. And it's also here in the Decapolis where Jesus feeds the 4,000. If you remember all the different things, he fed 4,000. And so that proves that he is now being followed in the Decapolis just as he is in Israel. And he did not desire the people to start following him again and again simply to see another miracle performed. He wants to relieve their suffering, to help the needy, and he wanted God the Father's love for them to be made known. How many times did Jesus say, I'm just coming here saying the words of my Father, bringing glory to the Father? He wanted them to believe, just as he told Jairus, just believe. The other interesting point in these two stories of healing is the faith exhibited by the two people involved. In the first healing, the woman simply comes up behind Jesus with the intention of touching his garment, knowing in her heart that this man is truly the Son of God. And just touching his garment will bring her healing. And so it did. What faith she had. She simply believed. And Jesus even confirms to her again, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Jesus didn't say a word till he was touched. She didn't plead out either. She just had faith. And we saw a similar faith, remember, in the story of Jesus forgiving the sins of that sinful woman in the Pharisee's house in Luke chapter 7, when we were back there some time ago. She simply came to Jesus, remember, and worshiped him and wept at his feet. She wet his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair and poured perfume on them. She said nothing. Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What faith? Kind of the same thing. She just knew. She had to go to him and be humble and repent before him by her actions, not by mere words. Now, Jairus also had faith that Jesus could heal his daughter, But his faith was only strong enough to seek out Jesus and ask him for his help. So it's like a little different faith. He clearly did not exhibit the faith of the centurion who came to Jesus and asked him to heal his servant. Remember that story? We talked about that already in this series. Jesus agreed to even go with the centurion, remember? But the centurion said, "Oh, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." What faith. But Jairus had faith that Jesus could do it, but he wants to go see him just as the centurion did, but he wants him to come with him, where the centurion said, no, just say the word. Just say the word. And remember that story? Jesus was astonished. He said to the crowd, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such a great faith." And he's a centurion. He's a Roman soldier. He's not a Hebrew. Jesus had to reassure Jairus when the word came that his father was dead. Jesus simply said to him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. And she will be healed." And then Jesus went with him to his house and healed his daughter. We all have different measures of faith. And our Lord responds to them all. So let us hear the words of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just go to Jesus with whatever faith you have and present your requests before him. And we know the word in Philippians, right? Present the requests with thanksgiving in your heart. Be thankful for, if nothing else, salvation in Christ. Be thankful for the fact that you have full and free access to Jesus anytime, because he's already paid the price. And then the word says, then present your requests. And it says, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. How does that work? It works because if you present your requests and you believe, then you will trust him that he is going to take care of it and he'll take care of all your anxieties. And so that's what we do. We present our requests with thanksgiving. We trust him that he's going to take care of it, and that relieves our anxiety. And we quit thinking about how we want it done, our time frame that we want it done, and exactly what's supposed to happen. Instead, we just present the request, and God says, bring them, and then trust him. Amen. And that's what we see in these stories. Different levels of faith, but all responded to by our Savior. And so I say, let us walk in faith like that, whatever measure you have. And we can always feel free to say, increase my faith. It tells us that. Increase our faith. And so, in this day that we live in today, now, trust him, present your requests, believe, just believe. And then, go tell your family, go tell the whole town what Jesus has done for you, because we're in the new covenant now. Now it's not we have to keep it a secret for a little while because it's superstition. He's a magician and he doesn't want to be thought that way. Now we're free to tell the whole world, our families, anybody, what Jesus has done for us. So, in this small section, just believe, trust Jesus, and go tell your stories. Amen. Hallelujah.